You're listening to Market Boldly, a podcast for executives, brand managers, branch managers, marketing directors, and sales managers in distribution who want to build their brand, stimulate sales, and drive profits. I'm your host, Katrina Olson. Thanks for tuning in. I work with electrical distributors and manufacturers all over the country, from California to Connecticut. And one thing I always hear is that they want to know what others in their industry are doing, and even in other industries, how they're marketing their products, services, and brands. I share as much as I ethically can as a consultant and from my more than 10-year stint as a judge for an industry marketing competition. But I thought there has to be a better way to share my more than 30 years' experience in marketing and the expertise of the sharp marketers I know in electrical distribution and manufacturing and in other industries. And that's how Market Boldly was born. So welcome to this first installment. I have about 8 to 10 more guests lined up for the future, so I hope you enjoy this conversation, learn something new, and tune in the future as well. My guest today is Glenn Gracia, Head of Media Relations at Leadvance, formerly Osram Sylvania, for the Americas, and that does include North, Central, and South America. For about 15 years prior to joining Leadvance, Glenn worked in a few public relations agencies on accounts including HP, Compaq, Sony, IBM, 3M, and McDonald's. I met Glenn through my work with the National Association of Electrical Distributors, and Glenn, I was trying to remember, have we met in person, or has it just been over the phone?
It's just been over the phone, and let me just start off by saying I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation with you, and I'm really excited about that. Yeah, I think I had been reading your stories in TED Magazine, and you know, about marketing and PR, and thought, I want to get in touch with this person because she knows what's going on. And I think I just sent you an email being like, hey, you know, can we just chat? And that's how I think we got connected.
Oh, what do you know? Well, hopefully someday soon we'll meet in person, you know, in real life. That would be fun. So tell me what you like about working in PR.
I love working in PR because it's twofold. One, there's something different every day. There's no, like, punching a clock. You never know sometimes what you're going to get. You could wake up in the middle of the night and just check your email and realize that there's a situation that you need to jump on and that, you know, that you need to address, which, you know, get your blood pumping and your adrenaline going. And that can be something that just, you know, motivates and energizes someone. And then also, I love supporting a company's goals. And whether it's a nonprofit that wants to raise money for those in need, whether it's a manufacturer that's developing the latest in lighting technology and trying to get consumers aware of these new products to help support sales, I feel like what I do contributes and helps makes a difference.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I, you know, a lot of the people I know who work in communications, PR, marketing do nonprofit work on the side or have nonprofit clients because we want to. I used to tell my students, my college students, I'd send them off into the world and say, you know, you use your powers for good, not evil. I hope they followed that advice. So, yeah, we're going to talk about PR, which may be a little bit of an odd topic for a marketing podcast, but I think it's a very underutilized and misunderstood tool. So I want to start with a little game. We all have these perceptions about what PR is based on what we've seen in movies and TV. So I want to go through a few misperceptions and have you address those. So the first one is PR is all about spin. How would you address that misperception?
I definitely think that PR is absolutely not about spin. PR's role is, in one point, to advance a position or a point of view. Obviously, we are the communicators for an organization, for a company, and we are trying to communicate that to our audiences, but without any compromise of integrity. It's always important to tell the truth and to share information or not share an information, but at least to be honest about that. If I don't know if a reporter asks me a question and I don't know the answer, I'm honest about that. You know, I don't try to make it up because that's not going to help anybody. And it's always best just to say, I don't have that information, I can look into it. But then if I can't give an answer because it's information that's not public, I'm also honest about that. And reporters appreciate that because they're trying to do a job. And if they feel like the information that they're getting is not something that they can count on, then it doesn't make them feel confident about the story that they're writing. And ultimately, the last thing that they want is to communicate information out to their audiences that they don't feel 100% confident in. So that's why it's always important to not spin.
Right.
The benefit of that is not just that you're being truthful and honest, but also it helps with the relationship building. As I mentioned, reporters and the media are trying to do their job and do it well. And there are countless PR people out there trying to get their attention. And the reporters and the media are going to look to the ones that they know that they can count on, even if it means that they're not going to get information, but at least they know that they're not going to get the information.
Yeah.
Then they'll be more willing to take my call or my email the next time that they need something versus perhaps going to someone else. So having it not be about spin is important for building that relationship in order to break through the clutter, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the first time you make a specific reporter look bad or share an untruth or something or something in public that's wrong, they're not going to trust you anymore and they're not going to call you for comments. And then you lose that exposure and that trust. And so, yeah, and the public sometimes think PR people just lie all the time. And those who are practicing it professionally don't. You know, we want to be truthful and honest. And yes, we can't share everything. And we'll, like you said, we'll tell you what we can't share. Like, you know, that's confidential, whatever. But you share as much as you can. So how about this? PR, here's another misperception. PR is about who you know. And maybe there's a little truth to this. I don't know, but I'll let you address that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point because there is benefit for that, but there's also, it's not the 100%, golden rule. And the reason why I say that is I could be best friends with a reporter and, you know, chat about X, Y, and Z about our personal lives and, you know, go out for dinner and whatnot. But if I don't have a good story to tell, they're not going to write what I'm trying to pitch because once again, they're trying to, you know, do their job and deliver a quality product. When I was at PR agencies, you know, we would pitch many different types of companies. And some of them, you know, would be brand, you know, related to the industries that we had expertise in, but there might be a little bit of a nuance. And they would, you know, sometimes in the pitch meetings, the potential client would say, well, who do you know at blank magazine? And our response would be, in a very truthful one, what I just said. You know, it doesn't, you know, while it, yes, it does help, it's better to have a PR person who is a good storyteller than happens to know X person at American Violinist magazine because we're pitching a violin company and we have 10 years of knowledge of this person.
And I think, and I know this is something you're good at because I've seen your work and I've seen your press releases, you know, and written things for TED magazine, but it's kind of rare and you have to be able to look at it from the reader's or customer's perspective. And I think that's hard for some people, especially we get so wrapped up in our own products and our own companies that we sometimes forget the what's in it for me or why should I care? You know,
right.
And that's harder for some people to do than others. I think it comes a little more easily and naturally for some people. But you have to put yourself in the readers/customers' shoes. Part of that is finding the story that's interesting to them, you know, like you said.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's another one. And I think this does, I don't know you that well, but I feel like you tend to be a little more behind the scenes. So this other misperception, and maybe I'm wrong, but this other misperception is PR professionals are people persons who are always on.
Back in my history, you know, when I was interviewing other people to join our teams, people were like, oh, well, why do you want to be in PR? And some of the responses were, well, I like giving parties. That's great. And yes, you know, events are an important part of PR, but it's just one part of it. Yes, it is important in PR to be, quote unquote, a people person, someone who is able to communicate. That is just one part of it. I look at PR, you know, as a kind of a similar role of sales. You know, PR professionals are trying to, quote, I don't want to use the word sell, but communicate and persuade a journalist to be interested in what they're trying to say. just like a salesperson is trying to persuade a customer to want their products. So that is important to be able to be a communicator and have engaging conversations with folks. But there's many other parts of PR and sales that are just as important. Research, strategy, writing is extremely important. Developing clear and concise talking points. And those are skills that, you know, are important and are unrelated to being quote-unquote always on and are fundamental and just as important as someone who is a good host at an event at a trade show. Yeah. So, Lord, you know, I definitely am not always on. Sometimes, you know, I have my serious face on. It's focusing on things that are not, you know, people person related, like, for example, Excel spreadsheets. So I would give that as an example of not always being on is when I'm trying to focus on Excel spreadsheets and things like that. But that's an important skill as well that is necessary. And therefore, why I feel like the comment PR professionals are people persons who are always on would be a myth.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad Sex and the City went off the air, or at least is only in syndication. But because I used to get, when I started teaching PR, 11 years ago now, I got a lot of that too. And it was like, I actually had one student, and I hope she doesn't hear this, but she said, when are we going to stop talking about all this businessy stuff and talk about PR? I was like, well, this kind of is the businessy part of PR. We have to do this too. And this is, you know, strategy, goals, tactics, you know, talking points. That's all part of it. So what about this? PR is free. What about that misperception or perception? You tell me.
Well, the difference between PR and advertising, obviously that does get to the, one of the fundamental differences between the two disciplines. Advertising, obviously, you're paying for space. Now, obviously, companies need to provide the resources and funding to enable PR, though, and that includes, you know, not just having a quality staff, perhaps even engaging with a PR agency, because one person, it's, you know, it's always more valuable to have more resources, and sometimes it's just too many audiences, too many responsibilities for one person to handle, and that's why having a PR agency can be extremely valuable. There's obviously a cost involved with that. So, yeah, I would definitely say that while PR is what we call earned media, you have to earn the reporter's trust in order to get the piece, and you're not paying for it like an advertisement, which is absolutely valuable and communicates what it does, but PR is not absolutely 100% free.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because you do need resources and you do need maybe some materials to support, you know, some marketing, PR, printed materials or digital materials to support your effort. So, yeah, I think that's a good point. So and you probably remember this. It wasn't that long ago. In 2011 and 2012, the Public Relations Society of America, or PRSA, led a crowdsourcing effort to arrive at a more contemporary definition of PR. And it was this: public relations is a strategic communications process that builds mutually beneficial relationships between organizations and their publics. So can you maybe, you don't have to break it down piece by piece, but tell us what that means to you as a PR professional. We've kind of covered it, so maybe just a brief comment on that.
I think that's an excellent definition, and one that I believe in wholeheartedly, because it's, we're trying to, as a company or a nonprofit or an organization, we obviously want to grow whatever initiatives we're doing. And in order to do so, we want to communicate with our key audiences. And media is an excellent way to do that, because our audiences are turning to them for the latest information, and we want to reach those constituents and those consumers and customers. And you need to have that relationship between PR with the press in order to communicate with that end user and customer. And sometimes with the evolving role of PR, social media, marketing, sometimes PR is working directly with those consumers. So it's not just through the media, but developing those relationships with their through events, activation, guerrilla marketing tactics so that you are engaging directly with the public. So that's also a relationship that PR plays an important role in.
You've been doing this for a little while. So you mentioned media and some evolving strategies and technologies. How has technology changed the discipline of PR or how you conduct PR sort of on a daily basis?
I mean, we used to, it's comical to even mention this because we used to fax press releases out and just sit there and just plug in numbers and fax one at a time. And the big thing was broadcast faxing. And oh my goodness, that saves so much time. And we would actually develop, I remember doing a trade show back in the 90s and building hundreds and hundreds of print press folders with five different press releases and numerous pages and just doing an assembly line to create these pieces. And now it's all electronic. Yeah. You know, instead now I set up a Dropbox where I send the media a link and they can access all the information and photos and press releases and whatnot just by clicking. Or we put it on a flash. Even flash drives are becoming not as useful now because people don't want to go to an event or whatnot and have another thing in their pocket or their bag or their luggage coming back. So we just email them a link and they can download it themselves. So technology has definitely streamlined our communication process, but it's important to still always remember the fundamentals of storytelling. Just because now instead of calling reporters, we use email, it's important to think of that email, which is easy to shoot off and easy to send off to 500 people on a BCC, but is that the most effective way to tell your story? No, absolutely not. Because you need, each reporter wants tailored information and not to feel like they're on a spam list.
Right.
So it's important, once again, to remember those fundamentals of storytelling, which are honest communication, personalized communication, share what the reporter would be interested in and not just what you want to say so that they feel like they're being valued and not just being spoken to. And that's where I feel like technology, sometimes people perhaps maybe use it as a crutch. And need to remember those fundamentals.
Yeah, I do miss the phone call. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this podcast. I don't want to lose that person-to-person contact. And, you know, I've had a couple situations lately where I'm trying to communicate with people just through email. And I'm sure this is true with media, too. And it's not the same type of relationship. Plus, you said, you know, send all these emails and we send all these emails to the media, but it's so easy for an email to get lost. Whereas if I've had a personal conversation with that person, hopefully they're going to remember me. We're going to talk about, you know, a little bit about the weather or kids or sports or whatever it is. And I still feel very strongly that that person-to-person live contact is important. You know, I might not just call them blindly, or maybe I would, but maybe I'd send them something and then follow up call and say, hey, you know, Bob or whoever, how you doing? I just want to make sure you got this. If you have any questions, let me know. I mean, you don't want to bug people, but I think we shouldn't lose that person-to-person contact.
And not to sound opportunistic, but in this world of social media and sharing personal information on social media, such as Twitter or Facebook or even a blog post, I mean, many reporters write personal blogs, and that gives you valuable information so that I know if I follow a reporter on Twitter, then if I know that they're interested in a specific topic, then I can think, well, not to sound once again like, you know, a mustache twirling villain, but I think, okay, I know that this person is interested in X. My story is related to that. So I'm going to reach out to them and be like, hey, I saw on Twitter that, you know, you're really focusing on climate control and climate change. And let me talk to you about LED lighting because that, you know, can help with energy savings that, you know, ultimately can help benefit the environment. That's one, a technology that wasn't available 10, 15 years ago, and it's helping me do my job better, but it's also helping the reporter get information that's valuable to them. So that's one way that I see the social media helping in this new world of PR.
Yeah, it helps build that mutually beneficial relationship. And, you know, people joke about cyber stalking, but, you know, if you put it out there, you got to expect people to read it. You know, if you're and like I said, we can use that to our advantage and not, like you said, in an evil or manipulative way, but it helps you form those relationships. So I think that's an interesting point. So you and I talked about this at length in the last year, but last year, one of your big initiatives was the change in your company name from Osram Sylvania to Leadvance. Of course, your products are still carrying the Sylvania brand name, but the company name change was a big deal for you and for your organization. So how did you approach that project? What were some of the issues you felt you needed to address through PR, and how did you address them?
So the brand Sylvania has been known for over 100 years, and we're very proud of the fact that our customers, both on the industrial commercial side and also on the retail side, have a strong affinity for that brand. So when we were going through some company changes, being spun off from Osram to become an independent company, it was important to think about, one, what do we want to communicate as a corporation about the new name? But also, two, how do we reinforce with our consumers and our industrial commercial customers that they can still count on that brand that they've loved for so long? So it was definitely twofold. Communicating the value that being a new independent company of Leadvance brings, because we as a company are becoming much more agile and much more entrepreneurial. And that is a great thing, especially in the lighting industry, where the technology is changing at a rapid pace. So while change can be beneficial and is good, reinforcing the fact that while we are going through some changes, many fundamentals are staying the same. And that includes the Sylvania brand that our consumers have loved and trusted for so long, our commitment to quality, our commitment to service, our supply chain. So those were the two things that I personally thought about, because on the industrial commercial side, and also on the retail side, the Sylvania brand is helping them build their business. So I thought, how do I make sure that they can feel confident that we will continue to be there for them as we have been for so many decades? And I really took that to heart, because we want to help support their business and help them grow.
Yeah. So what I'm getting from this is you started with some very specific goals, because PR, like marketing, marketing communications is goal oriented. You started with some very specific goals about you wanted to, you know, announce the new name, but reassure your customers, which means you also had a clear vision of who your audiences were for this messaging and for this communication. And then I know you used some very specific tactics to reach that audience. And what were some of those tactics that you used?
It was the full toolkit. And this isn't just PR, but it was working hand in hand with marketing, with digital marketing, trade shows. So we first kicked off the new name around the time of Light and Building, which was a major lighting show in Germany.
Yeah.
Yep. So we unveiled the logo, and that was very exciting, and talked about the name for one of the first times at a large venue, and then we introduced it at Light Fair, which, you know, here in the United States, another key trade show.
Yeah, big trade show.
For our industrial commercial, but also, you know, some retail customers as well. But at Light Fair, given that it was in North America, we definitely focused on the Sylvania brand, because, like I said before, our goal was not just introduce the new name and the value of the new company, but also reinforce the importance of the Sylvania brand. Because that was one of the many questions we were getting were, well, is Sylvania going away? Is that brand not going to be there for me? And we definitely wanted to communicate that wasn't the case. So trade shows were an important part. Press releases were also another important part. Getting the word out to the media, working with great magazines like TED to talk about the story, because, you know, also wanted to make sure that it wasn't just something that we thought was important to say, like having an honest conversation with the media and being like, I feel like your audiences are probably going to have a lot of confusion about this. Mm-hmm. What do you think? If you think that they are, let's develop a story to help reassure them. And once again, it wasn't just, I'm a company and I want to get my message out. It was, we need to help our customers and the industry have a better sense of what the reality is. So almost as a service versus just a straight, you know, let me fire hose information at you and you need to listen to it.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a good point about working collaboratively. So many companies and organizations I see, and not just large ones, are very siloed. You know, they have their marketing department, they have the PR department, they have their digital department or their social media department, and you're all, at least you should be, trying to achieve the same goals. So maybe you could speak to how that worked at Leadvance a little bit. I mean, you did already, but or maybe you've got another example. Maybe you have another example of how, you know, you've had those departments, those maybe sometimes silos work together.
It makes me think about one of our core values of the new Leadvance, and that's winning together. Winning together represents our belief that together we can be much stronger and shine brighter. Whether it's winning together with our customers, working collaboratively with them to bring the latest in lighting to the market, but also winning together internally. And that involves working, you know, I work very, very closely, not just with my corporate communications team and counterparts in other parts of the world, but also with my marketing team here in the States and throughout the Americas. Working, you know, if they're working on an initiative and I see value of collaborating and perhaps piggybacking, then let's have a conversation and maybe that can work out well. I'll give you an example. July, when we were launching the new Leadvance, I've heard that my Canadian trade marketing person was doing some customer events. You know, I thought, well, I don't have budget to do a media event, unfortunately, you know, at that time. But hey, if marketing's doing a customer event and they're going to have this big celebration for the name, let me have a conversation. Maybe I can invite some press to that the hour before so that we're maximizing the resources. And they were like, yeah, that sounds great. Let's work together so that I'm not having to recreate the wheel. Mm-hmm. And that's, and it was very successful, you know. So once again, not having to develop my own media event with my own paying for all the resources required, but working collaboratively in a way that was not a part of a year-long plan that was allocated 6 months, 8 months prior. It was an idea. And another one of our core values is breaking new ground. What can we do differently to help be successful? And, you know, that's an example of, hey, I got an idea. What do you think? Maybe we can work together on it. And then ultimately everyone succeeds is something that I feel like we're doing really well and can help us do even better in the future.
Yeah, and that's something that maybe just takes a 5 or 10 minute, maybe 15 minute conference call once a month with your counterparts to say, hey, what do you have coming up this next month or this in the next 2 or 3 months? And I think we forget to do that sometimes. We're so wrapped up in our own jobs and our own companies or our own divisions or branches or whatever that, you know, we forget that there's so much we can learn from each other. And that's actually one of my goals with this podcast is to share knowledge from people like you and others in the industry in a format, hopefully, that's easy for people to consume, you know, when they're driving or working or whatever. So we talked about collaboration. One of the groups, obviously, the customer target audiences that you collaborate with is distributors. So let's talk for a little bit about how we can apply some of these PR principles at the distributor level. So this is kind of broad. And if you need me to be more specific, I can come up with an example. But how can a distributor take some of this knowledge and this practice of PR and apply it in their own businesses? Maybe they're going to open a new branch or introduce a new product line. What types of things can they do and how should they approach that if they want to incorporate PR into the mix?
It's all about sharing valuable information. And sometimes it's not just like, well, I want to get this out because I think it's valuable. Examples of that could be obviously new products. So if a distributor is working with their customer base, new product announcements that they have to make available to their audiences are extremely valuable. And that could be developing, you know, working with your manufacturers to share press release information directly with the customers. You had mentioned about new branch openings. Employee communications is extremely important as well, and also PR can play a valuable role in that. Looking back over the earlier question about goals, we see PR having three major goals that can help support a company. That includes building a brand, telling a corporate story, and supporting sales. So for a distributor, PR can help build their brand by sharing that valuable information so that their end customers think of them versus their competition. So another goal would be telling a corporate story, and that includes the example about opening up a new branch. Growth is an excellent thing to communicate, especially as they're not just trying to get new customers, but also new employees. And by telling a corporate story, or whether it's a new branch, telling a story about a CEO that has an interesting point of view in the industry, that's valuable information. And if a distributor has a good story to tell, then that's something that could be interesting to the relevant media. And then not just customers, but employees read that, and then they feel proud to work at that company when they see their company out there in the media in a positive way. Not just current employees, but also potential new employees. Companies like to work for companies that are innovative and doing exciting things. So if I see that, a distributor, if I'm in the market to work at a distributor and I see that they are doing great things in the press, then I'd want to check them out. And that can help boost employee and HR retention and acquisition goals for new hires.
PR is not just useful for selling products, is basically what you're saying, but for recruiting, for internal communication is, I think, a whole other aspect of PR. Again, maybe something we forget about. It's like, oh, they'll see it or they'll find out about it. No, that's very important to get your personnel, your own employees on board, whether it's a new product or a new event or a new location. I think that's another, I don't know, I'm sure you guys do that at Ledvance, but sometimes I think our smaller companies, some of the companies I work with, forget about that. They forget that internal audience, who can be your brand champions and your company, champions and advocates, and can refer people to work there. I mean, that's a very important audience as well.
That's a really great point, Katrina, because getting back to my point about our core value of winning together, I work very, very closely with my internal communications team member, who's fantastic, communicating our successes to our own employees. And, I'll be frank, I didn't always think that way, because earlier, like you mentioned, we get so focused on what's on my to-do list, what do I need to, and get siloed, that we just focus on what do I need to do to get my job done.
Mm-hmm.
And, a little while back, I thought, well, hey, we're getting media coverage, and this is great, and I'm, sharing it with the sales force. Maybe I should share it more with employees, because as people get excited when they see their company being recognized. And now I'm working much more closely with my new internal communications to share that, because with our employees on our intranet or an email out to employees, it's not every piece of media coverage, because it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
But if there's an opportunity where we're shining and being recognized for great stuff that we're doing, then let's share that internally as well, because we like to make people proud. And like you had mentioned earlier, it's just taking that extra 5 minutes to think, well, what else can I do? What can I do differently? Which doesn't take a lot of resources or meetings or brainstorming. It's just more positive feeling for all of your audiences, including
internal. Exactly. So what are some of the ways that you as a manufacturer can support your distributors? What kind of resources do you think manufacturers should have available to their distributors? And how can you help them in their PR efforts?
Obviously, we try to get out as much information about new products as we can, especially considering how there's so much change in the marketplace, that we try not only through product cut sheets and, you know, marketing collateral, which our marketing team does a great job of developing with our product team to get that information out, but also, you know, perhaps highlighting some key or major initiatives through a press release. An example of that would be our launch of our new over-the-counter standardized luminaires. You know, this was a very exciting and new initiative for us the middle of last year, and we really wanted to communicate why that would be valuable for distributors, because we had been in the market several years ago with a product portfolio of luminaires that perhaps wasn't exactly the best strategic offering for our customers. And we, to be frank, we exited that product portfolio because it just wasn't making sense for our customers. Hmm. And really took a step back and said, what do we need to do better? And we developed a product portfolio that did that. So they were very, you know, streamlined. They were excellent at the roles that they needed to do. And they were no frills, no options that perhaps that distributors, customers didn't need. A contractor could go, you know, that has a school that needs some lights, luminaires for an event that next week. And the contractor right. just can go into the distributor and say, I need 25 of these wall packs and I need them now. Versus, you know, perhaps a more spec'd out product that would take some time that wasn't going to meet their immediate needs. And being able to have that product portfolio available for the distributor to then meet the immediate need of the contractor helps everybody out.
So what I'm hearing here is, from that example, is that PR and marketing, for that matter, too, is about not just pushing out information, but taking in information and listening to your customers and adapting. It's a circle. It's a circular form of communication that you can benefit from as a company and, in this case, changed your product line.
I think you bring up a great point about the circle, because it was an open dialogue with, you know, internally, but our customers and our distributors. Our distributors are partners, and we would be nothing without them.
Right.
Therefore, their input is extremely valuable. So if we would have, you know, had a product portfolio that didn't help them, then what good would we be?
Exactly.
So I don't remember the specifics about who said what and what, but I know that it was definitely a collaborative communication. And also, as we were developing this new one, you know, getting the feedback and working with distributors to make sure that we were coming to market with something that would help them.
I wanted to ask you if somebody wants to learn more about PR, and, you know, we don't all have time to go back to school and, you know, take classes every night, what would you recommend to, say, a distributor or even somebody in manufacturing who wants to learn more about PR and how to do it better? You know, can you think of any resources off the top of your head that you would refer them to?
Well, this is going to be sounding very kissing up to the teacher, but I mean... TED Magazine and your articles and other people that contribute does an excellent job talking about not just the, you know, the products and the industry, but also the business of the industry and how distributors can succeed that I feel are extremely valuable and give a good tips perspective, because theory is great and theory is wonderful, but at the end of the day, if I don't walk away knowing what can I do now,
right.
How is that going to help me? And I feel like TED Magazine and your marketing blogs do an excellent job giving real-world examples, but also things that I can take away
yeah.
as a distributor that can help them on, you know, day one.
Yeah. And, you know, some other resources I use, and here's the beauty of the world we live in now, is you can find anything online, obviously. There are some companies that put out a lot of good information. I look at Ragan.com, R-A-G-A-N.com a lot. They have a lot of good PR articles. I mean, obviously, there are books for those of us who want to go old school. I listen to podcasts. There are some other good marketing and PR podcasts. You know, it doesn't take long. You know, a 5 or 10 minute search, and you can find a lot of great resources. And maybe in the notes to this podcast, I'll list some of those for people. Yeah, you could go back to school. You could take a PR class at your community college or your, you know, maybe your local university. There are a lot of, and I don't remember what MOOC stands for, mass online something education. But you know, there's no shortage of information for people who want to learn about marketing or PR or content marketing or whatever. So I guess I would encourage, people to, just seek out some resources, maybe set aside 15 minutes a day. You know, I'm big on education. Obviously, you're big on education. We can all always learn more. I'm still learning. I mean, I taught PR for 10 years and I'm still learning. I taught writing for 10 years and I'm still learning. So, you know, I guess I would just encourage those who want to learn more, just, you know, look online, find some resources. And if you happen to think of any, you email those and I'll include them as well.
Another thing that comes to mind are, you know, we're all consumers. We're all people, average people going about our lives that are exposed to media ourselves. And not just looking at PR articles and trade magazines, but I also look at just what do other companies do that are great examples, just that, you know, it may even be an industry that's unrelated to my own.
Right, yes.
And I, you know, if I see a company do an event a certain way, or even a press release a certain way that I think, hey, you know what? I should try that out because I think that's cool.
Right.
I think that, you know, that got my attention, and therefore maybe I should incorporate it in my way. Well, you know, it doesn't involve trying to be a rocket scientist and create the latest and greatest yourselves.
Right.
There's definitely value in learning from others. Absolutely.
And imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I do believe.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's not just, you know, taking and duplicating it directly, right. Obviously. Then you just look like you're a carbon copy.
Right.
But, you know, if I look at consumer companies, we're, we're talking mainly about B2B, but people think, oh, B2B is beta boring. Well, no, that's not the case. And, you know, we just launched a campaign to focus on highlighting those that shine a light on others in order to celebrate positivity.
Nice.
And some people may feel like, oh, that's a nice thing for consumers and for, you know, a retail audience because it's, you know, focusing on perhaps something that's a little softer. But, you know, we wanted to reward people that are, you know, that funny person that makes your day better, shine a light on them. There's plenty of people that would be eligible to be nominated in a B2B world, so there's no reason to limit us trying to communicate this just to consumer, you know, business to consumer audiences. And that's just a way to think differently versus, you know, well, that's not really a B2B message. B2B is focused on product. B2B is focused on lumens and wire and whatnot. And that's why I think it's important to look outside of your own industry, your own market, on things that can be valuable and useful for your audiences.
Yeah, in the future, I actually would like to bring in some guests from other industries. And, you know, like I said, we can all learn from each other. So any final thoughts? I know you're busy. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I appreciate you taking time out of your day and what I understand is a vacation day for you to talk with me about PR. And I'm sure we'll be talking again soon. And hopefully we'll actually see each other sometime in the future. But do you have any final thoughts or recommendations for distributors about PR? I mean, we've covered a lot of territory, a lot of ground. Any final thoughts you want to share?
I sometimes in the cafeteria, I sit with some of our colleagues that are, you know, the new generation
yes.
of employee. And
I love the millennials. I really, really do.
Yeah. I mean, they're great. They're great. And it's just a fun, you know, time. But sometimes we joke because it's like, oh, some people come over, they're like, Glenn, are you trying to be young? Or is this like a brown bag lunch where you're like sharing your knowledge
you're
to
like,
the
no,
next generation?
I'm just that cool.
Or at least trying to be. So they're like, So they sit around, they're like, Glenn, tell us some advice. That's how they make fun. But
and then they don't follow it, but whatever. It's nice of them to ask. No, I'm kidding.
So, you know, I would definitely, just to reiterate, that PR can be, is a fundamental part of a collaborative marketing initiative that can help a business grow their brand, support their sales, and tell their story in a way that can be beneficial for the organization. You know, by collaborating with other marketing disciplines, even non-marketing disciplines, I get great ideas for campaigns by talking with HR, by talking with folks in payroll. You know, I may develop a campaign video that to support a PR activation and run it by somebody that is in payroll because they're a consumer and I want to get their thoughts. So it's that thinking differently and just appreciating the resources that you have at hand, because it can definitely make things better. That case in point, I got great feedback from somebody who wasn't a part of marketing that made my campaign better. And that I appreciate. That just helps everybody out as an organization. The NADE Adventure Marketing Conference, which is taking place the first week of August in Chicago, that is an excellent pool of marketing expertise, very obviously specific to the B2B world. That is just, you know, a gold mine of best cases, best practices that marketers can definitely appreciate. I would make a huge plug for anyone that's interested in trying to grow their knowledge base is attending that in Chicago in August.
Yeah, it's August 2nd through 4th. I hope to be there this year and maybe even catch some people and do some little mini podcasts from there. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, it would be great to meet you in person.
All right. So, well, thank you so much, Glenn. Thank you for your time. My guest today was my friend and associate, Glenn Gracia, head of media relations at LeadVance for the Americas, North, Central, and South America. And thank you so much for agreeing to be my first guest on Market Boldly.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
You've been listening to Market Boldly, a podcast for members of the distribution channel who want to build their brand, stimulate sales, and drive profits. I'm your host, Katrina Olson. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us again. Find this and future episodes, including show notes, at marketboldly.com and on my website at katrinaolson.com.